I know that you had given us a recommendation. If you could just go through your recommendation and the reasons for your recommendation.
Sure. For the record, Rob Calisi, Managing Director of the Hill Group and Health Benefits Consultant for the city.
How long have you been the consultant for the city now?
This term has been about 5 years, and there was a couple-year gap, and it was another 5 years, so about 10 years in total.
About 10. And when do you go back to? When do you?
I want to say it goes back to about 2007. Was the
that first. You started working with the city?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. So the in my report to the city, the administration, and the council, I had developed the recommendation around renewing with the existing provider, WB Community Health. It is a self-insured arrangement that has a little bit of a different twist than just straight self-insurance.
You got to get closer.
Sure. Sorry. So normally self-insured programs require a municipality or whoever the plan sponsor is to pay fixed expenses, you know, the monthly administrative fees and stop-loss insurance premiums, and then variable expenses, which, you know, can be up or down from week to week, and that's your claims expense. So that's how a traditional self-insured plan works. You have ups and downs based on the claims that have been incurred in the prior week or 2 weeks, depending upon how often the insurance company is billing you for claims. So there's a fixed component and there's a variable component. WB Community Health smooths that out for the communities that go with WB in that they develop what's called a working rate. It's a fully insured equivalent rate. So they develop rates the same way an insurance company would develop rates. They bill those rates to you each and every month. You pay those rates into the WB's program, and they sit in a fund designated for the city of Warwick. So it gives the city budget certainty like a fully insured program. At the end of the policy period, the 12-month period that would end June 30th, there's a reconciliation that happens a couple months after that point when claims have run out. And you, as an organization, have either a surplus or a deficit that runs based upon the overall performance and how the projections were developed from WB's perspective. Were they very close to being on target for the budget? Were they off, plus or minus? That account sits there. It is owned and controlled by the city. It's the city's funds, and you choose at your discretion whether or not you want to use a surplus towards reducing the following year's working rates, or if you want to take that money out in cash or a portion of it in cash. If it's a deficit, it gets to be spread over more than just the following 12-month period. I could let WB speak to how long you can spread a deficit over, but it's more than just the 12-month period that you could actually spread a deficit over. So from my perspective, for an organization the size of the city alone, not even including the schools, self-insurance is the most efficient way to buy the coverage. And then secondarily, if the council is concerned about budget certainty, WB is the only organization that allows you to be self-insured and get the benefits of being self-insured while having budget certainty through the budget period. So through the fiscal year, you get that budget certainty of fixed monthly premiums, if you will, fully insured equivalent premiums. And then at the end of that period, you kind of eat what you kill. You have a surplus, it's yours. You have a deficit, it's also yours. And that's, to me, the best of both worlds, being self-insured and having budget certainty of fully insured. And that's, in essence, where I started with my recommendation. I did look closely at the trust bid because their numbers were actually less than where WB projected your claims and fixed expenses to come in next year. But everyone here on the council needs to understand that WB projects your claims, and they know what your fixed expenses are because we know how much Blue Cross charges and we know how much the stop-loss insurance is. Claims are a projection, and that number can move around, which is how you end up with a surplus or a deficit at the end of the year. The trust bid came in. There was about $1.6 million lower than where WB had projected, and that's a guaranteed number that the trust puts on the table, because the trust is essentially a fully insured program. The downside to the trust was the fact that if for some reason they were wrong and you need a higher than anticipated rate increase next year, you have liquidation damages to get out of the trust within the first 36 months of the program. The liquidation damages are equivalent to 1 month's worth of premium for the city. It equates to almost a little bit more than $1.6 million. It's around the same number that you have in savings. So the downside is next year, if they miss the mark in their estimate and now they need to give you a rate increase that's above what you would normally anticipate or above where WB's rate increase would be, now you're paying more, and to get out, it costs you. So to me, in my professional opinion, A, the size of the organization, you should be considering a self-insured program, and that's at about a 95 to 96% confidence level that if you measure this, you cannot look at this in one-year snapshots of time. Because in any given year, you could have a bad claims year and the insurance company loses and you win. But if you measure this over 24, 36, 48-month time periods, the city will always outperform a fully insured program, again, in the high 90s from a confidence level perspective. And that's where I ended up with my overall recommendation.
And this is a three-year bid?
This is actually a one-year bid. And WB, I don't want to speak to the guarantees they have on the back end, because I don't know them off of the top of my head as far as fixed expenses are concerned. They do have longer-term contracts on the fixed expense side. And the trust is a one-year bid, but has a liquidation damages penalty if you get out within 36 months. So it's essentially a 36-month bid, but we don't know what the rates will be in year two or year three.
So we put together a bid package asking for a one-year bid on healthcare. And the trust sent us back a document with a one-year bid, but said if we go out with anybody other than them for year two and three, which we didn't ask for, they're going to penalize us.
Correct. That's part of their contract, and we did have a conversation directly with the trust, as I explained to the finance committee at the last meeting, where we had a discussion relative to the potential to remove that penalty if the city were to join the trust. Is there the ability for that penalty to be waived for the city? And unfortunately, it's part of their participation agreement, which cannot be amended. At least that's what I was told by the director of the trust, that they could not amend the participation agreement for one community and not other communities, which is reasonable. I mean, I understand where they're coming from.
So I know you've been doing this a long time, Rob, and I've been listening to you for a long time, and I appreciate your voice and the fact that different administrations have hired you over the years for your expertise in this area.
Sure.
Your recommendation was for a one-year bid.
Right.
And I'm assuming that you made a recommendation for a one-year bid because you think it's advantageous to go out every year for bids in a competitive environment, because you might save money depending on what's happening in the marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's room to look at this in more than one-year clips at a time, but the council has to be comfortable that you're going to be self-insured. You're not going to get a three-year rate in a fully insured environment. You're lucky to get a second-year rate cap, not an actual rate, but a cap. I haven't ever seen a 36-month rate guarantee on the fully insured side of the equation. So on the self-funded side, you can lock your administrative costs in for 36 months. Stop-loss insurance, like medical insurance, there are no guarantees beyond 12 months, so that could be something that's variable. And your claims expense is certainly variable over a 36-month period of time, but I would suggest that the council start to take a look at making a commitment to be self-insured for a period of 3 or 4 or 5 years, and pay closer attention to how do we control the claims expense that we have. And we seem to be spending a lot of time on the fixed expenses, right, which make up, I was corrected the last meeting, makes up less than 5% of your overall spend. And let's focus on the 95%. And that's really, you know, has to do with the health of your employees and their dependents. It also has to do with collective bargaining agreements and the benefit levels that you offer to the employees, which tend to get locked up for 3-year periods of time. So if the council is not at the table, if you will, when the collective bargaining agreements are open, it's very difficult for you to really move the needle on any of this going out to bid while the collective bargaining agreements are locked. You're not really going to get much savings by just trying to bid out administrative expenses. So my suggestion would be to try to tee this up and line it up with when your CBAs are open, so that you then have the opportunity to look at your benefit levels and negotiate in the union contracts what those benefit levels look like. That's where you will see savings. In addition to health, wellness, disease management programs that get at the root cause of your cost, and then education amongst your employees as to how to be the best consumers of healthcare that they can be, which requires consistent, ongoing education of employees on how to access care, when to access care, and where to access care.
And when you talk about the collective bargaining agreements, and we just went through the budget process and we talked about the annual required contribution for healthcare under, I think it's Gatsby 75 now, it was 45.
Yes.
And that annual required contribution went to from $24 million in 1 year to $35 million. And our unfunded healthcare liabilities rose to $352 million. I think that's what you're talking about when you're talking about devil in the details, or am I wrong?
Right. No, you were talking about really, that's your OPEB liability that you have that you need to be paying attention to, because it's a big number. And then for your active employees, the non-retirees, the active employees, what does the benefit design look like? Do you have a cap on pharmacy that we've been talking about for a few years, where the employees are capped at $300, and after they pay $300 towards pharmacy benefits, the city picks up the tab for 100% of any other pharmacy expense? It's relatively unheard of as a benefit. So there's those types of things that you can quantify and make recommendations and do comparisons to other communities, larger and smaller than you, to say, why does Cranston or Providence do it this way and our benefit level is up here and theirs is down here? Where do we reconcile that? How do we reconcile that?
I know when I had asked many years ago during the Avedisian administration about to the actuary when the point of no return was, and I think it was about 10 years ago, regarding these benefits, he said, you're already there.
Right.
You know, I don't think that you can pay. I don't think you can catch up.
Well, you know, somebody
on the council, I'm talking about OPEB costs.
And somebody on the council asked me to look at the retiree expense compared to the active employee expense, and it's actually more than 50%. It's $20 million spend on healthcare, and a little more than 50% is going towards the retiree side of the equation.
I remember last year when Mayor Avedisian left, I think it was the first time that within the last year that we've had more retirees than active employees in the history of the city of Warwick. And it's being reflected in the actuarial numbers.
Right.
And this isn't a political issue. I've said it several times. This is a math issue.
Yeah.
He wrote checks that he can't cash because he's not here anymore. And the fact is, we don't have the money to pay those. A maximum tax increase in the city of Warwick generates a little over $8 million. The annual required contribution that he left us with is $35 million. It's impossible to make that. And then Councilman Howe and I are having a discussion about schools. That's the elephant in the room.
Right.
This is probably the most important conversation that we're going to have is healthcare. It is the most important.
It is. And until you change the collective bargaining agreements to try to limit the number of retirees entering into the system from an OPEB liability perspective, this problem will just continue to snowball and escalate over time. It's not going to get better.
This is the most significant issue facing the city of Warwick. And I think Mayor Solomon in February had that meeting about the state of the city, and he talked about this. And we have talked about this on the council for many, many years. But also to be clear, West Bay and the Trust are bidding a Blue Cross product.
Correct.
Okay. So really what we're talking about when we're talking about it, an administrator of a Blue Cross product, West Bay, I think Blue Cross actually bid also. Did they bid?
Blue Cross bid dental, but the medical was bid through WB Community Health as well as the Trust.
What about United Healthcare? Did they bid?
United Health did bid, but we had to exclude their bid because they didn't bid stop-loss insurance, and which actually wouldn't exclude them on its face, but the fact that we received no other stop-loss insurance bids, if I were to recommend United Healthcare, we would be without stop-loss insurance because we had no qualified bidders.
Could you explain that for the public, what stop-loss means?
Sure. So the city doesn't take unlimited risk on every single member that's insured. The city has a cap of $250,000, I believe, per covered member. So each member that's covered by the plan, the city's exposure stops at $250,000, and the insurance company or stop-loss insurance company picks up the difference, the amount over $250,000 in a given policy period starting July 1, ending June 30th.
So it's almost like a Lloyd's of London catastrophic policy, because we're self-insured many of the times that we've gone out to bid.
That's right. And still, you're self-insured even though you have this stop-loss protection, because 99% of your claims are going to be under $250,000.
Right.
This is in the rare case that you have premature twins in the NICU, and it's $1.2 million. That's what you need that stop-loss insurance for.
And what about other insurance companies that are in the marketplace in Rhode Island besides United and Blue Cross?
So Tufts Health Plan declined to bid because of some of the benefits contained in a couple of your programs. Classic Blue, which is kind of a legacy program from Blue Cross, they're not able to administer that level of benefits on their platform. So they're excluded because of that benefit level. And then we have a new player that has entered the market that will be up for negotiation sometime in the future is Aetna Health Plans, which was acquired by CVS. So they have entered the Rhode Island market at this point, and to my knowledge, they're only in it from a self-insured perspective. They're not offering fully insured rates just yet, but they will, you know, throw their hat in the ring at some point.
So we're really left between choosing between WB, who's offering a Blue Cross administration benefit as far as what their negotiated rates are, and the same with the Trust. They're offering a Blue Cross.
Right.
And so those two entities, as you were pointing out a minute ago, account WB and the Trust really account for less than 5% of our costs.
Right. The majority of the costs.
The majority of the costs of the negotiated rates with the individual providers.
Right.
So could you describe that, what that means? Negotiated rates.
So the negotiated discounts.
What type of entities are we talking about?
We're talking
about hospitals,
physicians,
X-rays,
hospitals, urgent care facilities, lab and X-ray facilities, any provider of healthcare services that has a contract with Blue Cross. Blue Cross negotiates a fee schedule with them that they agree to participate in the Blue Cross network. So Blue Cross enjoys discounts in the range of 50%, oftentimes, sometimes higher, sometimes lower, off of the billed charges that that particular provider may bill.
So if I walk in off the street and they want to charge me $200 for an x-ray, because of the volume of people that a Blue Cross or a United can push towards that x-ray facility, that x-ray facility might agree to $100 because of the volume of patients it could see.
That's right.
If it was approved by Blue Cross.
Right. And the other thing, just to kind of go back to what we talked about earlier with educating employees, you talk about things like MRI, and MRIs are performed at hospitals, and they're also performed at freestanding facilities like Open MRI, or they're performed at a hospital like Lifespan. And when you compare the same imaging, you end up with very, very different results from a cost perspective. And this goes back to educating employees about where to access care. So obviously, if you're staying overnight in the hospital, you don't have a choice. But if your doctor tells you you need to go get an MRI of your knee, and they give you a slip that says go to Lifespan, you usually end up going to Lifespan. But if you are educated about the process, you know that you could take that Lifespan slip and go to Open MRI and pay about a third of the cost that you would pay at a hospital facility for the same study. So without that education, your employees are just going to follow what their doctors are telling them to do. And ultimately, that one-third savings or two-thirds savings is city dollars. That's city money because you're self-insured.
Because of the administration of advising your employees what to do in certain situations. Like,
correct,
if you have an earache, you don't have to go to Kent County. You can go to a walk-in.
You can go to a walk-in, or you can look, you know, use telemedicine now. So there's a lot of ways to access care at a much lower cost for some of the more routine things that get costly.
But whether we use the trust or we use WB, the negotiated rate for that x-ray facility is going to be the same because it's Blue Cross's negotiated rate.
That's right.
So really, the 95% of the claim, if you will, is negotiated already by Blue Cross. At the end of the day, it's what our cost is going to be during the year that WB is going to charge. How much is it going to go up compared to the trust?
Right.
Could you explain what happened when you analyzed the bids that came in for the first year for WB and for the first year for the trust?
Just to clarify, when you say the first year for this upcoming fiscal year, for
July 1,
2020. So as I had mentioned earlier, the WB creates what's known as working rates based on an estimate of what your claims are going to be looking forward for the next 12 months. And adds their administrative expense in stop-loss insurance and develops a fully insured equivalent rate. That's what you've been paying for the last 3 years to WB, a fully insured equivalent rate. And then at the end of the 12-month cycle, there's a reconciliation that happens, and you end up with a surplus or a deficit based on how close WB's estimate was of your claims. For the last 3 years, WB has been extremely, almost scarily pinpoint accurate, because for a $20 million spend, you're only running a $200,000 surplus today, which was a $200,000 deficit 3 months ago. So it fluctuates up and down over time, which just tells me that they've been pretty accurate to be, you know, within 1%, 2% of, you know.
So I think they predicted a 5.1% increase for us for next year?
Yeah, so the 5.1% increase was based on what was going on in February. So trailing 12 months, ending in February. That's the data that WB had access to, the same that the trust did. And I guess what I would say to that is, in speaking to Blue Cross and WB after reviewing the bids and looking at claims data all the way through as late as May 31st, claims have improved, which is what prompted the administration, I think, to look at this again, because...
So I'm clear, what was their estimate for claims increases for the school department for next year?
I believe that they came in at a 14% rate increase, suggested adjustment. That was going to be an adjustment to the working rates.
So WB predicted increases of 5.1%, and I think it was over 14% on the school department side.
That's right.
Okay. And what did the trust predict for increases on their side?
So let me just, I know I have the dollars committed to memory. I know for the city side it was 1.6 million, but as far as percentages, the trust came in at a minus, WB was a plus 5.41%, and the trust was a minus 2.58%.
So
created a spread of 1.6 million.
I mean, it's everybody is predicting that the cost of health insurance is going to go up. What's your experience been over the last 10 years? What's the average increase?
Yeah, I mean, looking at trend across the nation, medical trend across the nation, it's run somewhere between 4 and 7% depending upon where you are in the country, but we haven't seen negative trend in the last 10 years. So there hasn't
been, it's never gone down.
And that's not to say that
No, I was talking about the last 10 years.
The last 10 years we haven't seen decreases, no.
Okay.
In general.
And that would be the difference, what would be the difference in the bid between WB and the trust?
So, yeah, when you get
monetarily.
Monetarily it's about $1.6 million.
About $1.6 million.
Yeah, so WB is projecting an increase in your cost of $1.1 million, and the trust is a decrease of $520,000. So it's $1.62 million difference between the two programs.
And the penalty, if we don't choose them next year or the year after, is 1 year premium, which is how much?
About $1.650 million. So it's right around the same number.
So it's a wash.
Right.
If we go out to bid next year, which we will, it's a wash. But explain to us this smoothing issue, how WB determines a smoothing issue, and how the trust determines if we had a savings or we didn't, how that's factored in.
Okay, so what I think you're asking is, what does it look like upon renewal, and what happens to surplus or deficit balances that you may accumulate, whether you're with the trust or you're with WB? And what I had said earlier is that the WB's accounting is specific to the city. So the city has an account on WB books that's tracked, and whatever the balance is at the end of the plan year, plus a couple months of run out to reconcile that account, that's owned by the city, and the city gets to do with it essentially what it wants to. So use it to offset the following year's increase, take a deficit and let the deficit be spread over maybe a couple policy periods so that you have you don't have choppiness in renewals.
So let me interrupt you for a sec.
Sure.
So if we implement some of these things that you were talking about, where we get our employees to practice better healthcare medicine, not go to the hospital, but go to the, we receive the benefit of that.
Correct.
What happens under the trust if we were to do that?
So under the trust, the claims are still the claims that occur with Blue Cross. However, the trust has a separate arrangement on pharmacy that's notable. They chose to carve pharmacy benefits out and moved it to CVS about a year ago. I believe it's just up on the first year with that arrangement, which when you look at the net effect between the WB renegotiating their pharmacy deal with Blue Cross and the trust negotiating to carve out of Blue Cross, the differences in the programs, at least what I'm kind of analyzing and where the numbers kind of boil down to, is about a $20 per employee per month differential in those two programs, which is a win for the trust. So the trust has an advantage based on everything that I'm seeing.
On pharmacy.
Pharmacy.
And what's pharmacy amount to percentage-wise of our total healthcare cost?
It's about 20% of your total
so
healthcare cost.
So 80%
is on the medical side.
And on 80%, who has the advantage? And what's your recommendation?
Well, so it's Blue Cross or Blue Cross. So the numbers are the same, whether you're with the trust or you're with WB. It really comes down to whether or not you programmatically like how the structure is with the trust versus WB. The trust offers a guaranteed rate, so you have budget certainty because it's a fixed rate. Doesn't matter what happens essentially throughout the year to your claims. At the end of the year, you have two things to be concerned about on a renewal with the trust. How did the trust health pool perform in general? Right, that's all the communities that are insured by the trust. Did they have a good year or a bad year? And then how did the city perform on its own? And that will factor into the renewal. So if the city had a great year, meaning that there was a surplus that is essentially in the pool that the trust has control over, but the rest of the pool had a bad year, then the city surplus gets spread amongst the communities that didn't have a great year. And on the flip side, if the city had a bad year and the pool had a great year, the city gets the advantage of the pool having a good year. So it balances out based upon, you know, who's performing, comparatively speaking, to the pool that the trust controls.
What's your recommendation and why?
My recommendation still is WB. If you were, if the city of Warwick were a community with 150 employees, this wouldn't even be a discussion. It would be the trust. Because a 150 life group has very little predictability, not nearly the amount of predictability from a claims perspective that a 1500 life or a 1200 life group has. So that's just math. That's actuarial science, that the bigger the population you have to observe, the more predictable the data set becomes. So given all of that, I would recommend that the city renew with WB based on the fact that the arrangement, in my opinion, is far more favorable for the city on a long-term basis.
And when you say that it's more favorable, and you talk about the communities and the size of the communities, can you give us like a representative list of communities that you might find in West Bay compared to communities you might find in the trust and the analysis?
Yeah, I mean, so Warwick Schools, they're with WB, and the city and the schools make up probably the biggest single entity that's in WB, and they have Cranston in there as well, and other communities. I don't know them off the top of my head, but I believe there's representatives here from WB and the trust who can speak to who, what communities are in their organizations. But I would tell you that the larger communities are either in RIMIC, which is a third player in this mix who did not bid this year, but they also use Blue Cross. They're in either that community, they're in that purchasing group, or they're in WB, and the smaller communities are in the trust. It's more in line with how the program operates.
Now, I read some place about losses in the trust in 2016, 2017. Can you talk about that at all?
So part of the bid specs require the releasing of financial statements by all the bidders. So in this case, these purchasing groups, WB and the trust, submitted audited financial statements. And the trust has experienced a loss, a deficit in the operations of their pool, the health plan pool, which they either have to draw down funds from their reserve or require larger increases to make up for a deficit in the pool, like an insurance company would operate. That's how insurance companies operate.
Okay. Sorry to ask so many questions, but the council members have questions? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Calisi, I know that you had stated both here this evening and also in the previous Finance Committee meeting that you had, in fact, reached out to the trust and asked them if they would entertain a one-year contract, and their answer was no, and you just stated the reasons why. I believe at that previous Finance Committee meeting, I had also asked you if you had reached out to the trust and asked them if they would provide us with a cap of an increase in following years. And what was the answer to that?
My answer at the time was, and I have not reached out to them, we did not ask that specific question of a rate cap in subsequent years. The trust is here. I don't want to speak for them. I haven't seen it ever, but it doesn't mean that it's not possible. But obviously you can bring the trust up to ask the question directly.
Yeah, I'll ask when they come up. I believe I asked them in the committee meeting as well. Can you explain, you just talked about our plan over the years, and we're relatively predictable plan. I think that was the word that you just used, was predictable. So when a business is trying to project numbers and costs and what selling prices are going to do, we rely on the previous performance of the company. We rely on our costs, et cetera, et cetera. So with the city of Warwick being such a large book of business, probably one of the largest in the state, having developed a predictability in our exposure, be it good, bad, or indifferent, how is it that with this known predictability and reasonably, what would be the word, reasonably consistent performances, how is it one company has a 5% increase and another company is offering a $1.6 million difference? How
so,
is that?
I mean, there are various factors that go into the development of the rates. In this case, we're talking about how did the trust develop their rates versus how does WB develop their working rate. So what I observed in the submissions, which were delivered to me in a confidential manner at the request of the RFP, because there's proprietary information and how they develop their rates, there were credits applied by the trust that were not applied by WB Community Health. The largest credit, as I believe it, has to do with the differential in the pharmacy program, which at the end of the day, WB has negotiated a better arrangement than they had 8 months, 10 months ago with Blue Cross that improved their position to the tune of a differential now that only that exists between the trust and WB of about $20 per employee per month, to the advantage of the trust still. So there is still some differential, but not as much as I believe should be baked into their rating formula, although I'm not the one that has the risk on their pricing. In addition, there were other credits that were applied when they developed your rates that the trust applied that were things that they have put into their rating formula as credits that they could certainly come up here and explain. That my concern for the city is if what they're projecting doesn't actually come to pass, then next year we're sitting here with a higher rate increase than we anticipate, and ultimately you've now got to terminate the coverage with the trust and pay the $1.6 million penalty, and you haven't developed a surplus balance that maybe you would have developed with WB. So you give up the fact that you have the ability to develop a surplus and now pay liquidation damages of $1.6 million.
So, again, given our track record, predictability, in your opinion, how could someone come up with additional credits for something that doesn't show in our predictability?
Well, I mean, again, without putting words in the trust's mouth, they don't have a lot of
risk. I'm not asking the trust, yeah. I'm asking you.
Yeah, no, and from my perspective, they don't have a lot of risk here. Because they're giving you a $1.6 million reduction, but they're taking it back if you leave. So what exposure do they have?
None. So in the second term, they basically present the number and take it or leave it.
Correct.
And the same thing could occur in the third term.
That's right.
Because it would be locked into a three-year term.
Correct.
And when, or at the end of a given year, in the self-funded program, if we have accumulated premiums, those premiums belong to us.
In a self-funded arrangement, the surplus balance belongs to the
Correct.
City. 100% of it goes to the city.
Tell us what happens in a fully funded, where if the performance turns out where we accumulate, I might be using the wrong term, but accumulate a surplus, does all that stay with us?
No. So the participation agreement in the trust requires that if you leave the trust, in the first 36 months, you're not able to accumulate any of that balance.
Zero.
Right. And after 36 months, if you terminate, you give up 50% of your accumulated balance, if you will.
Whatever your accumulated balance is. That restriction of 3 years to accumulate savings, that does not apply with WB. Is that correct?
Correct.
We can accumulate premium or savings or whatever term you want to use,
yep.
beginning with day one.
That's right.
And if we leave WB in year two and go elsewhere, we don't lose that.
Correct.
Thank you.
Sure.
Is there any other questions from council members? Yes, Councilman McAllister.
So we had the trust in the past, correct? And I'm just going
yes.
through my notes. I know you've been up. Thank you very much. I know we had a long meeting last meeting
sure.
and going on here. They showed us, and can you just repeat what the percentage was? There was increases for the 3 years that we were with, what those increases were?
That we need to bring the trust up. I don't have that. That was a representative from the trust that talked about what the rate increases were while you were with the trust at that point.
With on that, okay.
My comment, just, you know, being in the insurance business for this long, 25 plus years, as a broker and consultant, if an insurance company has given me no rate increase, I probably deserve a rate decrease. That's just general rule of thumb. So the trust got up here and talked about zero and, you know, 1.2. My question is, at a zero, what would you have looked like if you were self-funded? So just be careful, because the numbers are on the surface. The information is behind the numbers.
Mm-hmm. And the trust, they have they're predicting a decrease. That's where the savings comes from.
Right. The trust... not necessarily a prediction. They're offering a guaranteed rate that takes your existing working rates that you've been paying to WB and reduces them by 2.58%.
On that. So there's the issue of the self-funding versus the fully funding.
Right.
And then there's the issue of the 1 year. We did go out for an RFP asking for the 1 year. Both gave a 1 year, but technically the trust, you know, if you, because you have to pay to get out.
Correct.
It could cost a savings, or it couldn't if they don't
That's
increase
right.
it. It couldn't, and then we have that savings, that $1.6 million
right.
savings
and
this
my,
year.
Going back to my first point is, maybe the trust is right. Mm-hmm. Maybe the claims are going to improve and everything is going to look a lot better. Well, you don't get the opportunity to retain that savings the way their program is structured. If the same thing happens in WB, it's all the city's money. That's my point about why it's important for the city, at the size that it's at, to remain in a self-funded arrangement.
And the city of Warwick, along with the school, we would be the largest municipality in the trust?
Yes. If you were both in the trust, or even singly, I believe you'd be the largest in the trust.
Thank you.
Councilman Corley.
I believe when you were here a few weeks ago, I asked you about the prescription cap coverage. Currently, is that only available to the employees in the collective bargaining agreements in Warwick, except for the Warwick Teachers Union?
Correct. It's just city employees. School department employees do not have the cap on the prescription drug coverage.
When you say city employees, we have some people that work for the city that are members of collective bargaining groups, union members, and we have some people that are city employees that are not.
So I believe both the CBA members and the non-CBA members that are city employees have the same benefit levels, meaning pharmacy cap exists for all city employees. Gene Bouchard, maybe want to speak to that in case I'm wrong. I don't want that to be gospel.
That's fine. And as far as you know, no other city or town in the state of Rhode Island, or I think you extended it to the entire United States of America, offers this type of benefit?
I don't know if I went that far, but okay. Certainly within Rhode Island, I haven't seen this benefit level in other communities.
Do you have any idea whether any other town or city ever offered prescription cap coverage?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was popular 15, 20 years ago. Actually, what, $300 actually represented a good component of what the cost was. Now it's just a fraction.
And I understand that that coverage costs us probably about $250,000 a year just for the prescription cap coverage portion of our health benefits.
Correct. If the cap were removed based on some of the data that I saw, I did an extrapolation of what that would look like without the cap, and it was $250,000 to $260,000 savings to the city to remove the cap.
And moving on to something else you said, did I hear correctly that we have more health care costs for our retired employees than for our currently active employees?
That's correct.
And one thing that I still cannot wrap my head around, and that is the unfunded liability that the president asked you about concerning our health care coverage. It jumped from 25 to 30-something million dollars per year. Can you explain that to me?
So, yeah, sure. This is projection, an actuarial projection of the future healthcare costs of your retiree population. As more of your employees retire and you gain more enrollment in that retiree population, that liability continues to grow because you have increased enrollment, so more bodies to cover, and you have increased expense, so you get hit both ways. You're not really doing anything. Your CBA doesn't control the number of people entering the program, and the CBA does not control the benefit levels for retirees, that you could do something different for retirees versus actives, have a different benefit structure. Or some communities don't have retirees getting coverage.
In the current fiscal year, what is it going to cost the city to, what is going to be our annual payment, I don't want to call it an ARC payment because that's a separate thing. But what is going to be the payment for this next fiscal year that would be tied into the amount that the president said it jumped from $25 million to $35 million a year?
Right. So as I understand it, and somebody on the council could correct me, but the last time we had this discussion, maybe a year or two ago, there was no funding going into an OPEB trust that would fund future liabilities that the city has accruing on its balance sheet.
And what year does that bill come due?
That bill continues. You continue to pay that liability from now into the future as long as your collective bargaining agreements allow retirees to access health care. That number just continues to grow, and each year as you make payments towards the current year's health care liability, the future expense continues to grow. So right now, you're just putting like a Band-Aid on the Titanic.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other questions from council members? Does anybody else from the public wish to speak? Anybody from the public? If not, could I have a motion to close the public hearing?
Make a motion to close public hearing.
Second, Councilman Howe. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Public hearing stands closed. Councilman Lattiser, did you make a recommendation? Or a motion? Right. Do you have a recommendation? Are you going to make a motion for one or the other?
Mr. President, I'm sorry. I don't think your microphone's on, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. I still can't hear it.
You want to? Yeah, we'll switch them. Oh, it's back on. Hey.
Now it's working. Now it's working. So you're looking for a motion?
Yeah. We have to choose between WB or the trust. Someone has to make a motion for favorable action for one or the other.
Okay, I will move favorable action to move the health care coverage to WB.
Okay, do I have a second? Second by Councilman Howe. Any discussion? Any discussion on the council? Councilman Tanapi.
Just so obviously my field isn't health care, but the consultant's field very much is, and just listening to him and given the vast number of unknowns from year to year, it seems like we don't really have much of a choice going forward, especially with the trust's setup of almost like a bait and switch model, which I'm not a fan of. And I don't see any reason for them to maintain it other than to do a bait and switch, not to mention that the trust seems designed for small communities to benefit from at the detriment of larger communities like us, which would explain why larger communities don't go there. As the consultant pointed out, Cranston doesn't go there. Cranston goes to WB. So I don't think this is much of a tough call, frankly, but it's my opinion.
I agree with you, Councilman Tanapi. I been sitting here for many years and heard this debate and was here for the debate, which was a lot more lively between United Healthcare and Blue Cross many years ago, which ended up, I think, in a lawsuit. I just remember time and time again, the recommendation was to always go with self-insured plans and not fully insured plans because the economies of scale for this city benefit us. And I think as Mr. Khaleesi pointed out, for smaller communities with smaller number of employees, the economies of scale benefit going with the trust. I think that's why we're with WB now. The other concern that people haven't talked about because of the last meeting is if you were to choose the trust, that takes effect July 1st. And that would give us about 10 days to switch all our employees over to the trust, which nobody had talked about, but I had talked about in the past. And that's a huge concern for me also. But I think we're with WB for a reason. I've been dealing with Mr. Khaleesi for a long time, and I think he's, you know, straight up honest about his assessments. I know many communities hire him. He's very well known. I think that's why we keep hiring him. And I certainly trust his opinion and would be going with his recommendation for WB. Is there anybody else? Councilman Howe.
I just want to say, Mr. President, I want to thank also Mr. Khaleesi. I think you gave us a great amount of information. This is a couple times you've come before us, and I appreciate your direct answers. As the council president said, every time I sit before you and listen, it's a learning experience, and I've come to trust that you've doing a fair and balanced job on analyzing. So I thank you, and I feel very confident in your recommendation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to speak before we vote? If not, the clerk will call the roll, and a yes is to approve WB. Yes.
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 Epstein.
PCR 7219, which is 2020-008, stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 7719, claim Shelley Trager, and that is public safety recommendation
from public safety.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Public safety recommends favorable action. In the amount of $300.
Okay, so you're moving it favorable action. I think it was in you. Okay, I don't know if it's from your ward or not, but they have you down there. Do I have a second to Councilman Sinapi, Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman Howe? Any discussion on the motion for favorable action for the claim of Shelley Trager for $300? Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll, and a yes is to approve. Yes.
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 PCR 7719 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 8419, 2019-279, Fire Department dress uniforms, badges, insignias, and nameplates. Committee report, finance.
Committee recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattisaw.
Favorable action on PCR 84-19.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. Any discussion, Councilman Lattisaw?
No, sir.
Okay, I know it was discussed in committee. And a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Yes.
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 PCR 8419 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCO 1815, Neighborhood Improvement Program, an ordinance that will make landlords responsible for the cost to pick up debris left on the street by tenants. I don't believe this is drafted. Committee report, ordinance. Held till July 15. Next item on the agenda is PCO 3-18, Rocky Point, an ordinance to protect the rights of private property owners. First passage, it's not drafted. Committee report, health, education, and welfare.
Hold till July 15th.
Held till July 15th. Next item on the agenda is PCO 319, an ordinance relative to boat storage on residential property. This is first passage. It's not drafted. Committee report, ordinance.
Hold to September 4th.
Held till September 4th. Next item on the agenda is PCO 919, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, 623 Post Road, James Donlan, petitioner. This is for second passage. Committee report, land use.
Favorable action, second passage.
Favorable action. For action, Councilman Ricks.
Request favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Howe. Any discussion on second passage? If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is to approve. Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Abstain.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lanza?
Yes.
Mr. Callister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Yes.
PCO 919 for second passage stands approved.
Correction, Mr. President. I do apologize. It was seven yes, one abstain. Thank you.
Yes. Number 12, PCO 1019, an ordinance in regards to water discharge that is not drafted. Committee report, ordinance.
Hold till July 15.
Held till July 15. Next item on the agenda is PCO 719, Pension Board. Councilman, that's not drafted. Committee report, finance.
Hold July 15th.
Held till July 15th.